Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead. For 27 years, Ted Carroll has served as the president of Leadership Greater Hartford. Leadership Greater Hartford is one of the largest, most diverse, and effective community leadership organizations in the country. Their mission is to develop, connect, and inspire diverse leaders to build strong and vibrant communities. Welcome, Ted Carroll.
Well, thank you very much, Shelley, for having me.
So glad to have you. Why don't you start out by talking about how you first learned of Leadership Greater Hartford and became involved?
Well, actually, I first learned about Leadership Greater Hartford when I was serving as the executive director of a group that was then called South End Community Services. It has since been renamed Our Piece of the Pie, or OPP. But back in those days, and we're reaching back into the early 1980s, I received invitations to nominate people to participate in that program. And then one year I decided, well, maybe I'll even nominate myself. And I participated in the 1985 leadership class, at the end of which position of president became open, and I was encouraged to apply. And fortunately for me, and I hope fortunately for the organization, there seemed to be a good match. And that was 27 years ago, and I am very delighted by the decision I made back then and the decision that our board of directors made in having me.
And what is the work of Leadership Greater Hartford? What was it then? And then perhaps you can elaborate on what are you now?
Well, in many ways, the goals have remained the same. From the start, there was a sense that leaders in our community needed to know one another. They needed to strip away the stereotypes they might have of one another, depending on which sector of the community they seemed to represent. Certainly, as a neighborhood leader back then, I had my stereotypes of what people in the business community were all about, and people in the business community had their own biases about what these neighborhood rabble-rousers were all about, and probably everybody was suspicious of what City Hall was about. And back then, you may remember, there was a lot of tension between the city and the suburban communities, and there were, you know, stereotypes we had of one another even then. And so from the start, I believe that the founders of the organization wanted to create a place where good people from every sector of the community could know each other, I mean, really know each other by working together, by building some trust, by finding the common denominators, and then building on that so that together we might be able to create a shared future that was fair and prosperous and open to all members of our community. So the change that has happened has not been that great, in the sense that we still want to connect people to one another. We still want to engage them in helping to build strong and vibrant communities. We want them to learn about the issues that we face as a community. Probably the biggest emphasis I've encouraged since I arrived some time ago was to actually get these strong, talented, committed leaders to work with one another around meaningful projects that would help to strengthen our region.
Now, Leadership Greater Hartford is pretty well known for some pillar programs. Speak to our audience about what those programs are, because I know they've had a tremendous impact over the years.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the program that I participated in back in 1985, and the way in which we were first organized back in 1977, is a program we now call Quest. And each year, we will bring together approximately 50 people, often rising leaders and established leaders, working together from every sector of the community, who break down into four teams that tackle issues of common interest to some 10 or 12 people working on those teams. But we recognize that this community has lots of people of all ages and all backgrounds, of all stations in life, and the Quest experience wouldn't necessarily be appropriate for them. So we created something called Common Ground back in 25 years ago. In fact, we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of Common Ground this year. And that's an opportunity for high school youth, both city and suburban students, to come together. We all recognize how powerful the teenage years are in terms of forming our life perspective and lifelong values. And so we thought it would be good to create an experience where people could come together, understand one another, find their common ground, and appreciate the differences that they represent at the same time. So we have programs for high school students both during the school year and in the summer. We're now recruiting for our Summer Nexus program that will take place for 1 week in August. On the other end of the spectrum, we have something called the Third Age Initiative. We just graduated our 11th class this past week, and we had about two dozen people who, for about a year, worked together and identified issues that they cared about and spent time making a difference on those issues and connecting to one another and really finding opportunity in their later years to have even more meaning in their lives. And so we're delighted with that effort. In between, we have programs for people who are at their at executive levels. Shelley, you participated in our Summit program just a couple of years ago with about 15 or 16 other senior level leaders. We have opportunities for people who want to get to know this community better. We call them Harford Encounters, or people who want to serve on nonprofit boards. We have opportunities through something called Leaders on Board, where they can find opportunities to serve on nonprofit boards. And
recently created the Encore program.
And yes, later today we'll be celebrating the graduation of the fourth class of Encore Harford. These are individuals who are at a time in their life when they wanted to transition into doing nonprofit related work. And these are leaders who have distinguished themselves in business or in government or in some other sectors who felt a calling to work now in a community nonprofit setting. And over the first 3 years, we have roughly helped place 80% of the graduates in nonprofit leadership roles, and we're hoping to have similar success with our most recent graduates.
So you had the opportunity to work with the various age groups and demographics of leaders through your work. What would be the nuggets of awareness that you have about what leaders need and want? What have you discovered in your work with these various groups of leaders about how people want to be formed or what their desires are in the leadership realm?
Well, I think there is a yearning that people have. The people who come into our program want to develop their full capacities as leaders, as people. They are restless individuals. They are very bright. They come into the programs with some pretty impressive credentials. But the good news is that they know they're still in formation. They know that there is much more to learn, much more to do, many more ways they can grow. And so that is a distinguishing quality, I think, of the people who participate in Leadership Greater Harford. They want to learn and they want to grow. At the same time, they want to share. They come into the program already pretty well equipped, already with a great deal of experiences and success under their belt, but they don't want to stop there either. They feel this genuine commitment to give back, to share, to serve. In fact, we often talk about the servant leadership model here, that people come in not because they want to be leaders as much as they want to be able to serve others. And in service to others, they recognize they must lead. But they come at it from a belief that, you know, they have been given some gifts and given the chance to develop those gifts. They want to now share those gifts in a way that makes a difference to others. They feel enriched in that way. They feel very gratified, and there is this yearning of that people want to feel fulfilled, and we are able to provide those opportunities.
We're talking with Ted Carroll, the president of Leadership Greater Hartford, and we'll be back after this break.
Your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, you won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and your soul, oh, yes, there is. Hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yes.
He can heal.
And he can mend the broken.
He can mend your broken.
Situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch you, heal you. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to feed your needs, go tell the world, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah, Jesus.
God has healed.
the Lord. Called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord.
To you.
Come on, can we say that as our prayer tonight? My life is not my own.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
And welcome back. We've been talking with Ted Carroll, who serves as the president of Leadership Greater Hartford, and we've been talking about the various programs within that organization and its impact. I think that for so many people, when we think about leadership development, at first glance, we think about becoming great leaders so we individually can be more successful. And clearly, Leadership Greater Hartford has had a number of corporations that have supported it over the years just for that reason, to see leaders within their organizations do better. How has Leadership Greater Hartford's work with leaders in the corporate arena satisfied that need of so many of the corporations?
Well, I think in many ways, there is a reason why local employers sponsor people for this program. It is not an inexpensive program. In the sense that, this is a year-long experience and there's a lot of time that's being spent and a lot of resources required to build the leadership skills. It is far less expensive than going up to Harvard Business School or Wharton or anything of that sort. But the companies are willing to make the investments for several reasons. One, they want their employees to come back more confident, more skilled, more able to work in diverse teams, because our workplaces are extraordinarily diverse places now that need to work across departments, across communities. And so the learning experiences we can create through our leadership programs offers people a safe training ground, if you will, for learning those skills of collaboration. The other thing that we offer is the opportunities to get involved in the community, and you know from your own work that the more involved you are in the community, the more connected you feel, the more engaged you are, the more likely you'll stay. It didn't take too long for me to realize that in this community there is both lots of need and lots of opportunity for getting involved, and once you do, you get hooked. And I think what companies, the most progressive-minded companies, are realizing, this is a way of retaining top talent in their employ. So I think that's another critical reason. The third is that they want to be known as community-minded. And so they recognize that sending some of their best and brightest into our community leadership programs helps to establish their company as caring for more than just the bottom line, that they care about the overall health of the community and of society generally. And that's a good value that I think they want to demonstrate. And
now you said something powerful there. You said community leadership. And when we think about cities and places that are really on the rise, they have a significant base of community leaders. Talk about your experience with Leadership Greater Hartford, building that base and some of the projects some of the leaders have taken on over the years to make a difference in the Greater Hartford area.
Yeah. Yeah, so probably one of the greatest assets we can now boast at the moment is having some 5,000 graduates of our various programs.
That's amazing.
And these are youth program graduates, these are Quest program graduates, these are executives who've participated in our program, these are people in their third age, if you will. And so we have a base of 5,000, most of whom are still in this area, most of them are still active. And so we can call upon them to serve on boards or to assist the next generation of leaders or to contribute in a variety of other ways. But the way in which they came to our program in most cases, or came to graduate from our programs, was having participated in projects. That is kind of a hallmark of our leadership training. We believe that in these concrete, hands-on, action-oriented teams, people can actually learn a great deal about leadership, about one another, about themselves, and about this community. And as a consequence, we have had some wonderful outcomes. For example, we had one class about 13, 14 years ago that recognized that we needed to tap the wisdom and energy and talent of our older adults in this community. It was that group that actually helped to inspire the formation of our Third Age Initiative. They brought Hugh Downs in back in 1997 that charged people up and made us really imagine a community where older adults could find meaningful opportunities to continue learning and serving. We had the group back in 1985 when I first started that recognized that as good a program experience as they enjoyed, it would be far more meaningful to have young people serve in that way. They actually work together to create common ground, the youth leadership program. We've had other groups who have said, you know, this Hartford community needs to be more attractive to young people. And if it became such, we would be able to spur more economic development. Well, they created the first Young Professionals Association in town, which later morphed into the highly successful program we all know as HYPE. But that was actually initially a project that was formed by participants in our program who, for a course of 5 years, stayed with it to help grow it. We still had another group back in 1992 who recognized that parents need to have opportunities to grow their leadership skills. And they created the first ever parent leadership training program, which the Connecticut Commission on Children then took and nurtured and then spread across the state and beyond. So what happens is in these programs that we offer, people find and plant seeds and nurture them, cultivate them for a while. And sometimes they stay right within Leadership Greater Hartford, but more often we pass the seedlings on to other organizations that might be in a better position to grow them to their full strength and their full potential. And so that's a indication of part of what we've done and part of how we've had an impact.
So it's leaders creating leaders.
It's leaders creating leaders. And one of the truths I think we have discovered about leadership is that may well be the single most important role that any of us who have assumed leadership positions must take on. It is not ours just to hold on to. It is ours to share. It is ours to ensure the next generation of leadership. And it is incumbent on anyone, all of us, each of us, to find opportunities to mentor others so that leadership is not something we hold on to. Leadership is something we share and we empower others so that we can actually do far more and far better than any of us would be able to do on our own.
Now, with your leadership, there have been people that have come through your program in the course of the last 27 years that you've been there. As you think about those who have come through, what are some of the projects, some of the leaders that have been in your program, have taken on in the community to have an impact? Who are some of the people, or what is the difference that they're making beyond your program?
Well, it's hard to know all of what people have done as a consequence of their experience. Certainly their lives changed, their relationships have expanded, their insights have grown, the opportunities have emerged. But I reflect on, I think it was 1998 or 1999, and a good friend and colleague, Marilyn Rossetti, went through our program, and at the end of that year, I think it was probably at the moment when she was on our ropes course, our challenge course, and she said, you know, if I can climb this tree 30 feet, or maybe it was 60 feet high, maybe I can do something great. And she decided at that moment she'd run for the Hartford City Council.
Absolutely.
And she ran, and she was elected, and she served a number of years with Mayor Mike Peters and others. I'm thinking of, in the very first class, there was a man named Romney Iyer, who was at that time the corporate secretary at the Hartford, who later on became the CEO and chairman of the Hartford, and who, even now in his retirement years, I've noticed how he has stayed very involved in public education, primarily here in Hartford and in other locations. So people take their experiences and they do different things. I'll even speak at a personal level. Back in 2001, we had a group that formed a mentoring project, and I decided I should probably practice what I preach. And so when they were looking for volunteers, I raised my hand. And now for the last 12 years, I've been in relationship with this person who is now 18 and a father, and working at McDonald's as a shift manager, and, you know, struggles, but does so with some confidence in himself and in a world that is prepared to help him grow to the next level. So, you know, in very personal ways, each of us is affected by our experience, and each of us makes decisions on how it is we can use that experience to improve the lives of others around us.
Everywhere we hear that, civic engagement makes a difference in the community. And I'm sure there are organizations similar to Leadership Greater Hartford in other cities. Mm-hmm. What does that difference make when it comes to leaders getting involved in a community? What are examples that you know of nationally or even locally more specifically?
Well, that's right. I mean, one of the strengths of a community is its civic infrastructure. The fact is that problems that all of the communities in the country face are big, and they're complex, and they can't be solved by a very small group of people. They must be solved by truly fulfilling the promise of democracy, which is to engage as many of our citizens as we can in ways that they feel passionate and ways that call upon their particular skills. So all of the communities around the country seem to have reached that same conclusion. There are some 1,500, 1,600 such programs in the United States alone, some number in Canada, and a handful of others in democratically organized societies, all trying to fulfill the promise of democracy, all trying to help each of us develop our potential in ways that help the larger community fulfill its potential. In fact, a great number of our community leadership programs around the world will be assembling in a couple of weeks in Arlington, Virginia. We have an annual conference where we will have an opportunity to share notes with one another and to give support to one another and to inspire one another to continue to learn and grow and make a difference in our respective communities.
So we're talking with Ted Carroll, who is a leader of Leadership Greater Hartford. He serves as the president, and we'll be back after the break. You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
Peekaboo. Peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Yeah. 30,000 square feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities.
And welcome back. We've been talking with Ted Carroll, who serves as the president of Leadership Greater Hartford. And you've done a wonderful work over the course of your career with Leadership Greater Hartford. But I'm sure, as most leaders, you have something on the horizon, your bucket list, your big, hairy, audacious goals for Leadership Greater Hartford. What's on the list? If we were to say money is no object, there's no limit, what would you like, Ted?
Well, I think we all need opportunities to dream, and I appreciate the opportunity now. In the last few months, our board of directors and our staff have gotten together to kind of refresh our strategic vision, where it is we want to be and how it is we want to be. As you said from at the outset, our mission is to develop, connect, and inspire a diverse array of individuals to build strong and vibrant communities. So part of what we'd like to be able to do is to ensure that we can do this forever. It is, as you can imagine, in this day and age, pretty challenging to run a nonprofit organization. And yet the future of our community, the future of our region, is absolutely dependent on having a large, growing cadre of diverse leaders who are committed to developing themselves in service to the larger community. So part of what I'm focused on now is to ensure that we have the right staff and the right board and especially the right source of funding to continue this work. One of our main goals is to ensure that anybody who wishes to grow their skills so that they can help be all they can be in service to the larger community, that anyone who wishes to have that kind of experience may do so regardless of their financial circumstances. So we work very hard to ensure that we have scholarship dollars available. I will say, 2 years ago when the organization celebrated my 25th anniversary with the organization, they gave, to my great surprise and delight, a gift that like no other. They created something called the Ted Carroll Scholarship Fund, so that now I have opportunities to provide scholarships for people regardless of their income. They can participate in either a youth leadership program or an adult leadership program without worry. And I am so grateful to all of the people who donated. But that's only a limited amount of money. I certainly would love to be able to make this opportunity available to many, many more people. Because until we have ensured that everybody in the community has a chance to learn and grow and serve, we will not fulfill the promise of this region. And so that's what I'm dedicated to. I've been with the organization for 27 years. I won't be here for another 27. I'll be there for far less and probably only a few more. But before I leave, I want to ensure that the programs that we have put in place, the traditions and the values that we have worked hard to establish will continue. If you will, it'll be my legacy, and that is, so I'd love to create an endowment, and we did create an endowment last year with the support of about 45 different people have contributed already, but I'm hoping we can build that so that this work will continue long into the future, because it's important and it's bigger than me and it's bigger than any of us here today.
Leadership development is clearly a great investment in any community.
The payoff is multiple. Nothing can happen without leaders. The healthiest communities are the ones that are leaderful. And so we are trying to become a leaderful community. And our job is to keep growing that number. It's 5,000 today, but you know, in 10 years, it can be 10,000. And in 20 years, it can be double again. And I think we want to stay on that path to ensure that this community is just, that it's vibrant, that it's prosperous, and that it is a community where each of us, all of us, can become leaders.
Now, in your discussion earlier, you talked about the various programs. You have leadership programs for youth, for people who are looking at second careers, for people who are the seasoned wise folks who still have something to give back to community, for people that are within their professional career with your opening program. And you have the summit career for people that are the CEOs. So if people are listening now, you have parent leadership programs that you've run and other specific groups. If someone's listening now and they'd love the opportunity to grow as a leader, how do they get involved or how do they find out more?
Well, we have a pretty robust website that I would like people to just check out, leadershipgh, www.leadershipgh.org. And the full gamut of programming that we offer is available for review. Additionally, every fourth Thursday, we have an after-hours event, very informal social hour where people can come and meet current participants, past participants, and future participants. Every fourth Thursday, go to our website from 5:30 to 7, we'll be there. We have member activities that are open not just to graduates of our program, but to anyone who wishes to get involved with us. And our next one is on July 11th, a summer social at Bushnell Park. In the winter, we'll begin a series around a leadership book. This past year, it happened to be the book Credibility that Jim Kouzis and Barry Posner wrote. And for a series of 5-6 workshops in the morning, you can kind of get a quick dose of leadership reflection and conversation with others, 80 or 90, who might come together for breakfast. So there are learning opportunities, there are social opportunities, there are service opportunities. We've been very pleased these last 5 years to help the community's nonprofit sector find board members. And we're hoping with the support from the Hartford Foundation for Public Giving to continue to offer that service essentially free of charge to people who want to get involved.
Now, if someone's here in the greater Hartford community, how would they know if they're eligible for the Leaders on Board program as far as the possibility of being someone who might serve on a board? Who should be looking at this?
Honestly, anybody who cares meets the first qualification. But we go beyond that and we offer board orientation. So you'll get a couple, 3 hours of here are the nuts and bolts, do's and don'ts, some basic familiarity with what it means to be a board member and how it is you can help determine whether a particular board is the right one for you. So we prepare you in advance so that when you go to what we call an express match, or what others have referred to as speed dating, when you have opportunities to meet with representatives of, say, 7 or 8 nonprofit organizations, you'll have a better idea of how to question them about what they're expecting of their board members, and you'll have a better idea of where the right match is for you. So honestly, it begins, leadership starts with the heart. So if you care, if you have a particular passion, it is highly likely we will find a nonprofit organization that cares about the same things that you do and that probably requires the particular perspectives and skills and experiences and networks that you are tied to, that where you can make a big difference.
So if people want more information on Leaders on Board, how do they find out more?
That very same website, leadershipgh.org, is where you'll find information about Leaders on Board.
And for so many people, they're looking for a chance to just generally give back in the community. What doors are open through Leadership Greater Hartford for people just to volunteer and get involved?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to come to our membership events. There you'll get acquainted with groups and projects that are always in need of additional support. And I must say that there are a lot of people in our community who are looking for work. And one of the best strategies that I offer is consider volunteering for a group. In that way, your skills are sharp. Your connections are fresh. You can demonstrate what you're able to do. And frankly, it's good for the spirit, which in this day and age, as finding paid work, you need to have a strong spirit.
Well, we've been talking with Ted Carroll, who serves as the president of Leadership Greater Hartford. This has been a wonderful conversation, and we know that Leadership Greater Hartford is doing good work now and will continue to do it in the future. Thank you, Ted.
Well, thank you, Shelley. This has been a joy for me.
Wonderful.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.